Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to start with a couple of votes on some work sessions. Here, we'll go through these in order on Senate Bill 459, 79, and 215. I'll start, just because it's posted here, with a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 459. And just in terms of, we may call some people up, but just in terms of refresher, Kyle, could you give us a breakdown on these two?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 459, we do have the dash four amendment, is up there in OLS. And yeah, just as a refresher of what the measure does, it's relating to two tax credits that are on the books right now, and these are auction tax credits for the Opportunity Grant and also the Certified Film Production Development Contribution, so the film and video. So these are two tax credits. Both of them have an annual cap of $14 million each, but again, they're auctioned through the agencies and the Department of Revenue auctions these credits. People purchase them, and then the dollars from the auction go to support the Opportunity Grant or the Film and Video Office and their prescribed programs. So the changes that we have in the dash four, the first one is about the auction date. So it is changing the date allowable of these, the auctions for these tax credits to, the idea being if we were talking about auction credits for tax year 2018, you could run an auction in the late winter or early spring for the 2018 credits. You'd be able to run it, maybe like right now would be an example. You could run an auction right now for the tax year 18 credits. And the idea there is that would give taxpayers a better understanding of what their tax liability is for tax year 2018. And then closer to the filing date, you would auction credits for the most recent past year. And that's a little different than right now where the auctions are generally run in late spring throughout the summer, and then we've even had cases where the auctions have been run as late as December most recently. Mm-hmm. So it's changing the timing, and then the second change is adjusting the reserve price for these auction credits. So right now, if you can think of it in terms of if you're purchasing $1,000 worth of credits, right now the reserve price is 95% of the face value, in which case you'd be required to bid at minimum $950. The dash four reduced that reserve price down to 90%. So instead of $950, you could then bid for these $1,000 worth of credits for $900. So it could potentially cost less. But again, it is an auction process, so you have to put those bids in, and it's a competitive. They take the highest price or the highest bid amounts first. So there's no guarantee a 90% bid would necessarily win at the auction. But it does lower that reserve price. And then the last change is just adjusting the applicable date to begin with tax year 2019. So this would be the auctions for this this current tax year we're in right now. But again, those are that's the underlying bill with the changes in the dash four. We do have the paperwork if you'd like me to discuss that at this time. We do have the fiscal was a minimal impact. There is a note from Department of Revenue who actually performs or administers the auctions of a potential cost if they're required to do multiple auctions throughout the year and the auctions aren't selling more than $10 million. Because they right now, DOR gets a portion of those auction proceeds to help cover their costs. So it's kind of a note there of depending on how the auctions go, there could be some fiscal implications, but right now it's a minimal. On the revenue impact side, there's been a number of changes, and I can go into greater detail if you'd like, but just to keep it high level, there's been a number of changes at the federal level that have adjusted, in some cases, what the worth of these credits potentially could be to taxpayers on their federal return. So initial indications right now is we're seeing how things fall out, but the tax credit auctions may not be as successful as they have been in the past. But again, it's pretty fluid at this point, and we don't have a whole lot of data indicating whether or not changes made by the administering agencies couldn't compensate for the changes made at the federal level. So just to keep it short there, right now the revenue impact statement is indeterminate because we'll see going forward really how successful these auctions are in auctioning the full amount, which is what they have been doing in the recent years.
Any questions of Kyle on that background or on the amendment, which changes the calendar, but otherwise it's still the same bill designed to make these a bit more appealing? Any questions? No.
one signed up.
Nobody signed up in a public hearing, so we're in work session. Senator Boakwist or Senator Benz, removing the dash fours.
Senator, since I was not here, why don't we have Senator Boakwist take the lead?
Certainly, hand me the map. Got the... Mr. Chair, I move SB 459A4 dated 2/25/19 into the main bill.
Senator Boakwist moves the dash fours into Senate Bill 459. Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, is there any objections? Seeing none, the bill is amended with the dash fours.
You ready to move on? Mr. Chair, I move SB 459 as amended by the A4s to the floor with a do pass.
Senator Boakwist moves Senate Bill 459 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a do pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Boakwist?
Yes.
Senator Riley?
Aye.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bounce?
Aye.
Chair Hass?
Hass votes aye. The measure passes, and I'll be the carrier on Senate Bill 459. I'm going to close that public hearing and work session, and I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 79. This is the somewhat of a technical bill on collections. It was one of the first bills that we took up way back in January. Kyle?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 79, we do have the dash 2 amendment, and I'll just briefly call your attention to a document in OLIS to help describe the changes in the introduced measure and with the dash 2. But so there's a, in the meeting materials, you'll find SB 79-2 description of changes. And we have it up on the screen. And the idea is there's really two pieces in a way to think about this bill is you have clarifications to existing law. So there's been some changes. I should back up. This is a bill relating to collections, as you alluded to, Mr. Chair, but for the Department of Revenue and the other agency accounts. So this is about Department of Revenue essentially having a collection agency, so to speak, for accounts that are of other agencies of local governments and such that send these delinquent collection accounts to Department of Revenue that then assists in collecting those accounts. So that's what the underlying bill is touching on. And then there's two parts, the clarification to existing law, and that's in response to some of the changes that have taken place predominantly with the higher education and the community colleges. There's been some changes in statute relating to how they're set up and designed in statute. So there's clarifications, and that's in the column you see of existing law is making clarification changes, but it wouldn't change the underlying collection process for agencies, boards and commissions, universities, OHSU, all those that are listed in that existing law column. The SB 79 with the dash 2, and the committee had testimony on this, has changes to, in one case, the Oregon State Bar. So it's allowing select the client security fund only collection to be sent to the Department of Revenue to assist in collecting on behalf of the Oregon State Bar. So that's an expansion, so to speak, of DOR's authority. And then the secondary one, and this is a piece just for the refund offset only. So this would be an example of someone who's due a tax refund, but owes something to a local government or something like that. Rather than that tax refund going out to that individual, it would be offset instead. So it'd be used to pay that past due debt at the local government that sent that debt to Department of Revenue to assist in collections. But originally, the introduced version of the bill was expanding this authority for all of other agency accounts in their collection process. What's in the dash 2 would instead just allow local governments and special government bodies to send this past due debt onto Department of Revenue to more or less just put it aside for that offset program only. So the other agency accounts in the Department of Revenue wouldn't actively work this debt. They would just have it set aside to grab any offsets that come through. So it's not a full collection process, so to speak. But again, those are the refund offset only, and I included the statutes that get picked up by what's defined by local government and a special government body. So that would include schools, education service districts, and then all the what's commonly referred to as the special districts, such as the ports, Library Road, some of those smaller districts throughout the state as well. In terms of the paperwork on this one, the fiscal is indeterminate. Again, this is, there's no requirement of Department of Revenue to collect on this debt, and there's no requirement necessarily of the local governments to send such debt, so it's indeterminate and not sure how much of this debt will get forwarded on. And then that's the same for the revenue impact statement, again, because it's unknown how much of this debt will be sent on and how much will be accepted and then worked, so to speak, by the Department of Revenue. It's unknown at this time or indeterminate at this time what the increase in collection, so to speak, would be, because the underlying liability or the fees behind this isn't changed. This is just trying to increase collections of outstanding debt that's already out there.
Questions for Kyle? Senator Riley?
So this expands the role of the Department of Revenue and collections to local agencies. Is that, do I understand that right?
Yeah, Senator Riley, you give the ability of, say, like a school district or something could send some of that debt to Department of Revenue's other agency accounts to then, in this case, it'd only be for their refund offset program. So it just gives another ability to collect on that outstanding debt of the local government.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Bowman.
Okay, so sort of in debt collection language here, what this does is it authorizes the Department of Revenue to send what is equivalent to a garnishment letter or a garnishment claim to the Department of Revenue by another government entity to collect on a debt they have.
Senator Boquist, in the case of the local government, the special government body, it really is just about setting that aside for any tax refund that may come through. And garnishments are sort of a different tool, so mm-hmm. to speak, for collections, and that would not be part of those that are the refund offset only. It would simply be saying if someone's due a $200 tax refund, tax filing, if they have something outstanding first, they would use that to offset that debt. But it wouldn't be actively worked in terms of like a garnishment or something of those lines, the traditional collection process.
It simply allows them that if Bob is due $200 and he owes the Bethel School District $150, that they have the means to go to the Department of Revenue and say, hey, we have this debt of $150 so that they could collect it.
Yeah, Senator Boquist, yes.
In simple terms.
Right? Exactly.
It's not like the DOR, we're not expanding the authority of the DOR to go collect the billions of dollars that they haven't been able to collect yet.
No, yes. Exactly.
It's not simply, like the original bill.
It's assigning, it's assigning the ability to assign more debt, so to speak. Yeah, and it is kind of in line, I suppose, with the public testimony that was received about potential Department of Revenue just using that offset.
Okay. Got it.
Thank
you.
Senator Benz?
Ready for a motion?
I am.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 79.
Senator Benz moves the Dash 2s into Senate Bill 79. Discussion? Objections? None. The measure is adopted. The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 79 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Benz moves Senate Bill 79 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 79 will go to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Taylor, would you like to carry this bill?
I'd be happy to. Chair has.
We'll close out that work session and open up a work session on Senate Bill 215. This is the revisor's bill. It's been amended with a few minor changes to a bill full of very minor changes. Chris Melanek.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. There is an amendment. You had an amendment when LC went through the bill. The only difference between that amendment, which was the Dash 1 and the Dash 2, is that in the original bill, there were two provisions that were repealed, ORS 316-739 and 317-301. There's Section 8. And those provisions need to be not repealed because they relate to deductions that go back to the disconnect in 2009 and 2010. So what the dash two does is it takes that out of the equation, so they're undeleted, if you will.
Okay.
So they stay on the books, because they're still affecting taxpayers today.
All right, and we had legislative council walk us through the rest of this a week or two ago, and it's mostly those kinds of technical changes that come up time to time, with the exception of the undeleting of two statutes. So we're in work session, Senator Benz, unless anyone has any questions of Chris.
Is that, Chris, is that the correct one? There are two dash twos.
Yes, that's the correct. There are two dash twos, depending on how you look at it, because, yes, it was put up for a work session before. Yeah.
So, okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 215, dated 2/13/19.
Senator Benz moves the dash twos to Senate Bill 215. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the dash twos are added to Senate Bill 215.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 215 as amended to the floor with a pass recommendation.
Senator Benz moves Senate Bill 215 as amended to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 215 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a do-pass recommendation. We're back up at this end in our sophisticated process of bill carrying responsibilities. Senator, would you like to carry this bill? Riley will carry it.
I'd love to.
Okay. I hope you can walk us all through this and be prepared for questions.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So we'll close out that work session. Thank you all for those votes.
It is risky.
And we'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 165. We've got the Treasurer's office here, if you guys would like to come up as we go through a briefing on the summary.
Chair Hess, members of the committee, Senate Bill 165 requires all employers in Oregon to indicate whether they offer a retirement plan to employees and thus are exempt from offering employees enrollment in the Oregon Retirement Savings Plan. The bill also allows DOR to provide information on those responses to the state treasurer.
Thank you. Michael Parker.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Benz, members of the committee, for the record, Michael Parker, Executive Director of the Oregon Savings Network within the Oregon State Treasury. This bill, we hope, is fairly simple. I just want to kind of give you a quick sense of what the Oregon Savings Network does, just briefly. As you probably know, we manage the College Savings Plan, we manage the ABLE Savings Plan, and we manage the Oregon Saves Program, People with Retirement. The Oregon Saves, being the newest program that we now manage, it's about a year and a half old, was created by the legislature in 2015 to help about 1 million Oregonians who don't have a retirement plan at work to help save for retirement. And this bill really is a bill to help streamline the process and actually help employers. Employers who already offer a retirement plan to their employees are exempt from the program already. However, we don't have a good way of determining who these employers are, who offer a plan and who don't offer a plan. So this bill essentially just allows employers to check a box on a tax form to let us know that they are actually an employer who offers a retirement program within their place of employment. Instead of claiming an exemption through Oregon Saves website or responding to us if we call them, hey, do you offer a plan? Do you don't offer a plan? This allows us to exempt these employers out and actually allow us to focus our efforts solely on the employers who need to facilitate the program. If we want the program to be as easy as possible for employers, that's been our main goal, to have employers be just facilitating the program and not have to do a number of things to make it for employees to save in the program. So this just gives employers ability to check a box, and then we do not have to contact them and bother them at any point in time asking if they actually have a program at their place of business. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Questions, Senator Riley?
So nobody's going to check to see that they've checked the box correctly. Is that what I hear?
Chair Hess, Senator Riley, no, we're actually going to essentially take them on their word. So if they exempt out and check the box, then we're making the assumption that they have told us the truth and they are offering a plan at their place of business.
A qualified plan.
A qualified. Any sort of qualified retirement plan, that's correct.
Thank you.
Senator Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in paragraph 3, in section 1, paragraph 3, line 17, the employer shall make an annual return to the department on forms provided this, that, and the other. Do they get to forget about that and just jump down to 4 under this proposal? They don't have to make the annual return on the forms if they offer the qualified retirement plan.
Senator Bence, I don't think that's the case. I think this is in addition to what they're doing currently. And I'm going to look back at DOR to make sure that I'm giving you the correct answer. Yeah, so this is in addition to what they're currently doing.
So are they currently filling out a different form and submitting it, and now so they got to do 2 things instead of 1 thing?
Chair Hass, Senator Bocas, no. This is going to be on a current form that they're already submitting. To your point, we didn't want to do any extra, have them do any extra work. So they're already submitting this form. We're simply adding a box on that form to say, do you offer a plan or don't you? Check the box. If you offer it, then you're off of our list and we're not going to contact you anymore. So it's a form they're already filling out. And we're going to add a box to that form. DOR is going to add a box to that form.
And then I'm assuming then you have an interagency agreement with DOR for they can tell you who the firms are who have a plan and don't have the plan?
Chair Hess, Senator Bocas, that's correct. Then we will do an IAA with DOR to collect that data, and then we'll then contact the employers who are required to facilitate Oregon Saves.
The questions, comments? Okay, thank you. We don't have anyone else sign up to testify.
We start early tomorrow, right?
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Chair Hass.
So I'll close out that public hearing.
And yes, to remind everyone that we do have the revenue forecast tomorrow at 8:30. We're going to join the House Revenue Committee right here. And there will be no Senate Finance Revenue Committee tomorrow afternoon. Does that sound like a fair trade?
Okay. Thank you all. We are adjourned.